This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here, and you can find me now. I want to welcome in the 97.1 side here and everybody joining us from KMOX over to the 97.1 side here, the second half of the Home Improvement Show. You can find me, same number, same place, 314-436-7900. Got plenty going on, but have a whole nother hour right now, starting right now, for everybody's calls, questions, comments, concerns, whatever is happening around your house. And I know we got a little cooler day today, so last weekend I hope everybody got to join me and work on some of that honey-do list and get some outdoor things accomplished. And I got my deck power washed, like I said, was on my honey-do list. And as I'm wrapping that up, I'm looking at the patio below it going, well, okay, maybe that's next weekend, but a little bit cooler today. So not sure if it's going to warm up enough tomorrow to maybe tackle something like that. But hopefully everybody's been able to get outside, get some of that work done, get some of that honey-do list going, and figure out what needs to go. Then you can call in right here and ask any question you have about what you're trying to do. Maybe you are trying to power wash and clean. Maybe you do just have some stuff coming up and you're thinking about redoing the deck a little bit, working on some of the stuff outside. Anything you need to know, any question you might have, give me a shout. 314-436-7900. And I had another interesting conversation with one of my clients that is, and this is a very common thing we get into where we've done a lot of work on the home and they love everything that we did, and but now they're looking to move for whatever reason. Maybe it's area, maybe it's school. This one was school, looking for a good school area for a child. So we've done a bunch of work for them, but now they're looking to move and they found this house and they love the older homes. So we're talking the 80, 100, 120-year-old stone foundations. And it's pretty typical for these homes to get moisture, some water into those basements through those stone foundations. It is a very typical thing that happens. And of course, most of these homes, or almost all of these homes, have, and this one had the same thing, that front porch cellar where you've got the concrete ceiling, stone walls, cellar kind of area. And so their concern was they wanted me to stop by and just kind of examine the basement and some other areas to just give them some advice on how likely do we think it could be corrected, how well is it going to work, and just how do we get through this whole thing. So they kind of helped them decide, is this really worth what I'm about to do, what they're asking, and everything through that in purchasing a new home. So I have those conversations quite often with all my clients to kind of help them out and just look things over. And of course they did get an inspection, which I'm glad to hear. And I'm glad to hear the way the real estate market's going now. A lot of people are getting more inspections again, and we're kind of hopefully out of that rush so fast to buy something that you don't get home inspections, because they are good. They are great. But in this particular home, so we were kind of looking and talking about what you have to do and explaining how that water even, why is it so hard to battle when you think about a block or stone foundation. That stone foundation is about a foot thick of a bunch of different stones with mortar in between it. So when you come from the inside of the basement and you scrape out old loose mortar and you do tuck pointing and you paint it with a dry lock or some kind of moisture vapor barrier type painting product over that wall, you've addressed about 1 to 2 inches, maybe even less because of the coat of paint in some places, of a 12-inch thick wall that's getting water and moisture from the outside of it. And when the ground pressure is pushing that water in between those stones, you've got a very thin barrier trying to hold that out. And that's why, and I'm sure everybody out there with these homes has seen it, they do it, they take care of it, and you just fix it up, you scrape it, you repaint it, you tuck point where you need. And it's just kind of an ongoing thing that you do every 2 to 10 years, depending on how much water, moisture, and all that you get. But in looking at this house, I kind of spoke about a lot of the same things that the home inspector did, but then I kind of brought up another area that they were really hadn't thought about. Out of the back of this old home where the stairs, there's a door that goes outside and the stairs go up. Well, that all was kind of broken down, closed off, and they built a room addition over that area at some point that extends another good 10, 12 feet beyond that staircase out into the backyard. And really zero access underneath there, very close to the ground. So as the ductwork passed by and went underneath that floor and there was a bunch of bat-style insulation everywhere, I'm looking at that going, ooh, we handle a crawl space very, very differently today than we used to. And this is such a low, what we would call crawl space, there's no access into there. And then when we got up and we looked outside and went through the first floor and got to the outside, now on the back of that room is a deck that is very close to the ground also, just like that room. And then there's, beyond that's a concrete patio that's to a pool. So it's a pool deck of concrete that's sloping towards this composite deck. You've got 12 feet of composite deck, and then you've got 12 feet of room addition that's all right on top of the ground. No access. You can't see anything. You can't. So the water running, going through those deck boards, it's really a circumstance that I was more concerned with that room and how much moisture it may be, mold and things were they getting from that room with the wood being so close to the ground that you can't even see in there. You can't really tell anything that's going on. So it's a difficult situation to see or know. And they did have Wellington Environmental come out and they did some quality air testing. They're going to find out about mold levels and such. And my whole topic of conversation was more, I would be really concerned and would question, once you do the work on the foundation walls and you get the dehumidifier we talked about to keep the humidity down, and you dry things out as much as you can, you paint the basement floor, you paint the walls, you kind of clean everything up, testing that air again for mold later, once that's all better and your humidity's more controlled, because you may still be getting it from underneath that addition. And if it's underneath that addition with no access, well, you know what that means. You're going through that one direction, and that's from the top down to try and get in there, mitigate, control. What do you do? Do you put drains underneath the deck? How do you flow water around that gets under the deck? Where does that water go when it's under the deck? Probably rolling right towards that room is the concern. So there was some more concerns there other than just, yes, we can do this. Yes, we can handle this. But I'm more concerned with that room and what might happen there with that than I am some of these other areas that need addressed. That's super common. A lot of those, 80, 90% of those homes are going to have some sort of moisture, water things happening that you just manage and you just take care of and you're fine. And then that's just a characteristic and a quality of the home, that the maintenance that it takes to be able to be in a home that's that neat, gorgeous. And there were some phenomenal features of this home with the windows and the original glass and all these really, really cool, neat features. But that addition and how you do that really, really just caught my eye of concern. So we're going to get into our first break. If you have any questions on that, if you have any questions about anything that you got going on, again, you can find me 314-436-7900 right here. And we can touch more on how to do a crawl space better, differently, right, in a better manufactured way right after this break. When we return, we'll be right back. All right, we are back. Plenty going on and talking about crawl spaces. How close to the ground do you build something? Mold, moisture, just groundwater, moisture comes from the ground. So if you have anything like that, if you have any questions about it, if you smell some musty stuff, maybe we get on the air and have a quick conversation about it, see if we can help you out. That or anything that you have going on, remodeling or maintenance wise, I'm right here for you and I'm not going anywhere. 314-436-7900. If you're a while ways away, toll free 1-800-925-1120. And so I was describing in the last segment that room, the crawl space, being so close to the ground, you couldn't even see in there. I could see that there was bad insulation from where we were standing in the first 3 or 4 feet where the staircase to the outside used to be. And when we look at building a room addition and doing a crawl space underneath a room addition, and I will tell you that with with newer houses, newer codes, how we build things, and needing a good 8 inches or more of foundation showing around the foundation to manage grading, sloping, water, moisture, all the things that happen in things that we build today, we build a lot of crawl spaces for room additions because, of course, full basement costs more. These things are not inexpensive. So the crawl space is the most effective way to get a good foundation. But how we used to build a crawl space. How I built a room addition with a crawl space 30 years ago in this industry and what I do to that today has evolved immensely. It's like everything. It's like kids' toys and things that you do for kids, their swings, their car seats. Everything changes so much across every industry like that. Everything that I knew raising my children that are now 20 and 25, 26 years old is so different in when you get braces and when you do certain things. And with my grandson, the funniest thing I noticed is all the little swings that you put them in. They all swing sideways. None of them swing. All the swings went front to back when I had children, and when right now they all swing. So our industry and the remodeling, the maintenance, all the things is no different than all the other industries that they're like, yeah, don't do that with your child anymore. Well, now I look at a room addition and I go, yeah, we could do a crawl space, but don't do it like they used to. So prior, you'd basically insulate the floor and you would put vents in the foundation wall that you could open and close to let air run through there. And think about the conversation we had on the insulation in the attic with Sterling and the unit and all the things and how to insulate that attic so that it becomes a part of the home. It's conditioned like the rest of the home. Well, the crawl space now needs to be the same way. So when we do that crawl space, first things first, no more vents. You've got ductwork running through there. If you have a bathroom, you got pipes running through there. If you think about your basement, and it's a full pour, it's 8 feet, 9 feet, 10 feet tall. There's no insulation on the floor, and there's no vents to the outside, because your house would just not be conditioned correctly, right? All of a sudden, well, why was that ever good on a crawl space? So you'd get cold air in there. The cold air gets through the fiberglass insulation, or it leaks in around the band board of the room, and it gets behind that. So it's between the subfloor and the insulation. And how does insulation work? Well, it keeps temperature difference. It holds temperature. So when the cold air gets there, it doesn't let it go away. It holds it in. So the floor can be even colder when it's insulated with air infiltration included than if it's not insulated over the whole floor. So the goal today is no vents. Basically, we put a rubber liner inside of that crawl space. So we don't just cover the entire floor. We go up the walls of the concrete, because think of the moisture. Concrete is porous. Think of the moisture and the moisture vapor that just sucks right through concrete. So you go up to the top of the concrete, and then around your perimeter, if you go down in your basement, you look around the perimeter of your basement, you've got bat insulation stuck up against the sides, against the band board, running along the edges. Well, again, remember, air infiltrating, air leaking, blowing through fiberglass insulation. So what we do is we seal all the seams of that rubber, and we spray that foam we were talking about with Sterling around the band board. So it locks in and blocks the air infiltration. It ties into that rubber liner. We do that on the seams of the rubber liner. So it glues the seams of the rubber liner so that it holds all of the moisture down below the rubber liner on the outside of the concrete, below the ground on the rubber liner. So it doesn't let the moisture and the moisture vapor get to the ductwork, the floor joists, the temperature difference that you get from a vent letting in cold or hot air, and a ductwork that's leaking 20% of what runs through it, whether it's hot or cold air, and it just creates condensation and all these problems. That stuff now gets eliminated, and you've stopped all of that. And the other piece is you put a sump pump in the corner so that if you do get so much water – sump pump will handle it just like around your basement footings. Pump the water where we want it to go, and it's good and gone. And we don't have to worry about that water either. Now, keep an eye on your sump pumps, because if you have an issue with it, I did have one of my clients that we had put in the sump pump, the rubber liner, all that work, and they started getting all this water from that crawl space into the basement. And what we found out was under that liner, well, the sump pump broke, stopped working, wasn't pumping water away, and then the water just filled up. It raised the rubber liner about 6 good inches. When I stepped into that crawl space and went to crawl through it, I sank like 6 inches into water underneath that rubber. So there are maintenance things to replacing that sump pump itself every 7, 8, 10 years. Even if you don't have a water issue, they'll just go bad and you need them to work. Maybe have a backup, a water type system backup we talked about a week or two ago, or a battery backup, something that if it does stop working, you lose power, goes bad, it will have a backup that will run to it. So all of these things in advance of having that issue takes care of that issue if you were to get there. So it's just a great thing, and it's such a different way. And so the next topic of all of that is let it breathe and let it mix air. So my client that had the porch with the cellar underneath and 80% of your moisture is coming from around that porch, my advice was, he was like, well, I think I want to replace this door so that the door actually closes better and seals better. And I said, nope, don't replace the door. Matter of fact, just go ahead and take that door off the hinges and make it go away and leave it open to breathe with everywhere, to mix up. Because if you're running a dehumidifier and you've got high humidity over here and low humidity over here, it's going to mix together and create normal humidity, and you want that air circulating. So keep the air moving. Let it get to those places. Don't try and just block them off and let it happen. It's not going to be a great thing. Let it breathe. And we do the same thing with the crawl space. So we might have one opening that puts all the ductwork and the pipes and things into this crawl space, and another opening for access getting in and out, and you leave that open and you let that breathe with the rest of the unfinished basement, and the air movement mixture is just better, healthier, and does a better thing for you. So a lot to do in a different scenario on the best way to actually put a crawl space like that together. So think about all of this when you're considering doing something of a room addition or finding out about the type of work and what should happen, and becoming educated is such a great thing. So I'm here. We got two more segments for you. Feel free, if you have any questions, any comments on that, any concerns, give me a call, 314-436-7900. Got plenty left to come. Right after this, we'll be back. Don't touch that dial. Dead is blown
across the ocean. Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. Look at us putting bricks in the wall. That's what we do here, right? We tuck point it, we add the bricks, we build the bricks, we build the wall, we build it right, we build it proper. We talk about all these great things and ways to perform every different type of system. And I've got something for almost everything. And for you, anything that you're thinking, any maintenance issues you may have, any remodeling questions you may have, a project maybe you're thinking of taking on, I'm here. We got plenty of time for you. Feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. And we kind of just went over that whole crawl space. How do we get that right, build that right? But now, if you think about when you're going to figure out a project like that, when you look at what do we do up front, how do we design it? What kind of professional services do you go through to figure out a room addition? And it's on a crawl space, because that's where some of those gaps come into play. When you look at just the architecture of a room addition, that sort of thing is not always called out and not always figured out. It may say, yep, here's the crawl space. Make sure you have 24 inches of height so that someone can go through it. It may say plumbing runs this way, ductwork runs this way. But to get into the specifics of the absolute best scientific manner way for our area, because these things don't all, not every area works exactly like the other. So there's a lot of differences in how we build and how we do things. So when you look at it architecture wise, they draw a crawl space, but they don't necessarily indicate build your crawl space like this because it's the best way to do it. And they don't always indicate that what that might cost to have that better. So there might still be a lot of people going with the older system. Or what I see a lot of times, and mostly is when they do the crawl space, they'll just lay down a sheet of plastic and put some rock on top of it. And when you think about plastic on top of dirt that just goes up to the edge of your foundation wall, and if your room's 20 foot deep and plastic's 10, 12 foot wide sheets, they got to lap them. So if the seams aren't sealed, moisture just comes right through those seams, comes around the perimeter, and it might slow it down, but it doesn't stop it. So when you look at figuring out, I want a room addition, I want this type of work done, how does that get completed? When you look at the design build system and the steps of figuring things out, there's such a benefit of having everyone on the team from the field, from the type of person that runs it, builds it, understands it, along with the designer that would be more educated to say, well, yeah, put your fridge over here and your working triangle in your kitchen works like this, and this is going to make that great. And then your licensed architect that says, well, here's how the room has to be held up and works and engineering and all of that. When you have this team and you look at how to get through that, well, then you get more answers. So when we look at professional services to figure something like that out, a room with a bathroom or a kitchen in it, there's so many people involved in that process to figure out exactly what needs to happen. Then you just get really, really great answers to having that work. Now, and remember, if you have any thoughts or questions or comments about any of this, feel free, again, to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We've got plenty of time till the top of the hour for you. But thinking and going through professional services to figure this out. When you have just a designer look at how a kitchen lays out and it's in this space and you haven't thought about how does the electrical get there? How does all this work? When we look at this as a team, and when I'm on that team and we go into let me figure all this out, you've got different phases of this designing and these professional services to get you to an understanding, and me and all of our people to an understanding of what really needs to happen. So the second phase in that process of bringing out all the pertinent people that can get to those answers, I look at that, and that's my what I call my change order reduction stage. You'll never get away from all of them. In the house, when you open things up, you're probably going to see, find things, even if it's older home especially. But we can find and figure out different things that will happen and may happen, or how things are done and how we need to do them differently. So we can get to the answers. And we found out, like I just found out the other day, how we need to run a new ground wire for the new electrical panel, because the one they have now isn't up to code and isn't in the right spot. So we have to tear out a bunch of the basement's drywalled ceiling to run this wire. And these are the type of things that people find out later when they're like, okay, we're at your house and this isn't right. We just figured this out. Here's a change order. I need more money. I need to fix and get through this. So that's just better steps and better ways to make that happen. Hey, we got Larry on the line. Let's get to Larry real quick and see what's going on. What do you got for us, Larry?
I live in an older house in an older neighborhood, and all the homes are immaculately maintained. I was edging my curb, and I noticed a little hole in the curb wall. And if I got a straight a chalk line and laid it from the curb to my downspout on the edge of the house, I could imagine there at one time was a drain pipe that took the water off the roof and ran into the pipe out to the curb.
Yeah. Probably was. Yep.
What would be involved in restoring that? Because now I have a gutter downspout and just goes out into the yard. Should I call the city to see if the regulations about mixing storm water with sewer, or how does that work?
Well, they definitely, depending on where you are, some still allow the storm water to go into the sewer water in some areas because there's just not another good way around that at this point. Of course, MSD has been working on their Project Clear to eliminate as much of that as possible. So when you redo it, they usually want you to try and get it out to the surface somewhere out in the yard. And they just need it to be 5 feet or so from the sidewalk or the street, or so it can kind of disperse to the grass in your yard and run out and run off from there. So it is the curb, like at the street,
yeah,
is where that
the
is
street. Mm-hmm. All the streets are curbed.
Yeah.
And I had this unsightly 4 foot extension on my downspout now that goes out into the yard.
Yeah.
Not that it'd be nice just to eliminate that, have it go directly into a pipe that goes out to the street.
Yeah, so what you could do is you go ahead and put it in a pipe that goes underground through the yard, and basically what it does is that pops back up to the surface of the ground before you get to that street curb. So you do it like before in your yard, so the water would pop out of the top of this pop-up and then run towards that curb and probably use that hole to get out to the street, and that would be the best way that they would allow you to do that and let it run towards that curb. It just needs to be so far away from the curb.
Contractor, or
you're looking for more landscape contractor type person, either contractor or a landscape person. We do a lot of that at Mosby also, where because putting it together a good way with hard plastic pipe glued fittings is pretty important so that the water doesn't leach out of the pipe in between. So the corrugated pipe isn't the best way to do that, and that's what a lot of landscapers like to use. So that's the type of person you're looking for, but you definitely want to check in hard on what type of pipe are they using. Are they gluing the fittings? How do they put that system together?
In the next block north of me, there is a great big house, a Victorian-type house, and I see they have their gutters going into this brown ceramic clay tile drain.
Uh-huh. Right up against the house?
To the street.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so the only thing they're really, most municipalities are saying is, like, don't put it directly on the street. Get it dispersed to grade before it gets to the road. Okay. And that way it'll eliminate some of it before it actually gets to the street. So, yeah, okay. I would say you could call Mosby and ask for either us or a recommendation to come out and look at a good way to do that for you. They would have good information for you. I do got to get into my final break here, Larry, but I can touch a little more on some of how we do that in the last segment here. Make sure we get it right. All right, we are back. And you know, we were talking with Larry about the downspout drains and how to pipe them. And I got to tell you, we get into that at Mosby Building Arts a lot when we're managing the water of the house, but the opportunity to do that is at the same point where we're doing concrete work. So I want to tell you about my friends at B&W Concrete Services, because Larry there that looks at all the flat work, manages their projects, their people. I mean, what a great system they have and how they put this concrete together the right way and how they can solve issues for you like they solved issues for me. I'd invite you to give them a call, BW Concrete. Call them at 636-458-3626. And I'll tell you, when I had a concrete issue at my home, and we've been using B&W for their foundations, for their flat work, for all their concrete services at Mosby Building Arts for years, but I used them at my house for an issue of street creep from my road, actually the street pushing against my sidewalk and breaking my sidewalk. And I brought Larry out because I knew that they would take a different look, a different approach, and think outside the box. And he really came up with this great way to have a step in the concrete and create kind of a slip joint of concrete where one section of sidewalk can slide underneath the other. So if the street's pushing on this sidewalk, it's not going to lift the other section and crack it like it had before. And that's why I love them. That's why I use them. I invite everyone out there to do the same thing. It's BW Concrete. You can find them at bwconcrete.com or just give them a call, 636-458-3626. You will love them as well. And so now when we do this concrete work, and we do a lot of, we've got the opportunity to get these pipes where we want. And when you're in these older homes in Clayton and Central West End, and you've got, they're really close together, they've got driveways between them, so the concrete's tipping the wrong way and sending water where you don't want it, and your gutter downspout drains come down, we can run that pipe where we need now that we're replacing concrete. But the system and the goal is to really, you want to use a hard, smooth-walled plastic PVC pipe when you run these systems. And when you run it underground and you glue the fittings, it will work like the plumbing system in your home. It will keep the water in the pipe. When you get to the end of the pipe and you do what I was trying to explain to Larry, the little pop-up that comes back up to the surface, so the force of the water will pop up and it will just push that water out of the top onto the grade, but it will hold water in it. So there in the elbow at that pop-up, there's a hole in that elbow to let that water out. And if you set that hole onto dirt, it's not going to let that water out. And that is what so many people I see do. So you want to dig out a hole at the end where that pop-up is, maybe the size of a 5-gallon bucket. Compact some rock that pipe can sit on at the end in that hole, and that will hold the pipe up. It'll keep it steady where you want it so it doesn't get buried, and it'll let the water out to disperse the grade so that pipe can work and function the way that it should. So how you get these pipes in, I'm warning everybody, is very, very important. Have some really good in-depth conversations on how that's done when you're looking into that. And we do that at Mosby. So 314-909-1800, you can find us information on that. And we can do any of this designing stuff, everything you need. So, hey, had a great time today. Some great calls, some great questions. I really appreciate everybody's questions and input. And, hey, from now on, be good to your homes.